Okay. Let's learn something before Steve blows all our secrets. It's funny. I was looking at. I gave the Joshua Parches memoir. So I was looking at through my files, my archives, and I found somewhere in my archives is someone else's compilation, just of like short ideas. If you wanna like go and you can look further. And over there, he has a line. He says that anyone who titles one of their classes "Make Sphere Account," we excommunicate them. So it's a good thing I moved off the East Coast, because I think I'd be excommunicated if I had a class "Making Sphere Account" over there. So it was. I guess last week was Lagba Omer. All the weeks are kind of mashing together. But for years, my oldest is 4 and a half. She's not so old. But for the past 2 years, every day she comes home from school, and I ask her, "Nessia, how was school today?" And for a while, I got nothing. And now I'm starting to get a little bit of something. She actually came home a couple weeks ago when it was Yom HaTzmaut, and she said, "My teachers told me I wasn't born in Israel." And she was really upset about it. Because she when I was in Kol, she was born in Israel, but her teachers didn't believe that she was born in Israel. So when they were naming people who were born in Israel, and she said, "I was born in Israel," they're like, "No." So we had to go back, and we made that one right. But then on Lagba Omer, she came home, so I was asking her, "So how was school today?" And they did all sorts of fun things, and she said it was a good day. They did all these activities, and she had s'mores, and she said that she was a little bit afraid. But more Naomi Shackman, she helped her with the bonfire. Which I found to be very cute because, you know, everyone knows that it's a bonfire. But for my 4-year-old, she took words that she knows. She knows the word bones, and maybe you could say the logs are like bones, and she knows the word fire, and so therefore she melted marshmallows on a bonfire. And it kind of goes back to something I like to talk about a lot, and that's this idea that we always, as adults, we say things that we don't necessarily understand. The thing I always like to talk about, I'm sure many people have heard me say this over and over again, is you have a yard site and everyone wishes you that the neshama should have an aliyah. What do you mean they should have an aliyah? They should have an aliyah to the Torah? They're leaning on a Wednesday in Shemayim? Like, what does it mean to have an aliyah? And I always describe about, you know, the Zohar talks about there's different levels in Gan Eden. We want them to go up a level, and they should have more and more pleasure. So one of the things that we always talk about, and this is something that's always bothered me, and it still a little bit bothers me, but this is what I really want to talk about, is this idea that we say on Shavuos that we're going to have Kabbalah Satorah, that we're going to accept the Torah on Shavuos. We stay up all night, and then it's Kabbalah Satorah. I don't know, whoever stayed up, I don't know if you've experienced it, but my experience staying up all night is not this, like, grandiose experience where it's thunder and lightning and all this amazingness. It's like you just have a bunch of men falling asleep trying to daven.
Even the Shavuos in Dallas, I'm sure there was thunder and lightning.
Thunder and lightning cry. Helps keep them awake. But you just have a bunch of people falling asleep, and then typically you have a rabbi who's up there trying to get things done as quickly as possible. And it doesn't seem like this whole grandiose thing. So what do we mean when we say that we're going to accept the Torah on Shavuos? What does that actually mean? And so I think if we look at a couple of these sources that I wrote down, I think we can put together an idea that will help us understand what it means to accept the Torah on Shavuos and hopefully make it a really meaningful Shavuos as well. So the first is this Gemara in Brachos. And before we look at the Gemara in Brachos, we just got to make sure that we're familiar with one concept, and that's there's three types of brachos. There's three categories of brachos. You have a birachas hamitzvah, a bracha that you make on a mitzvah. You say a blessing before you shake the lulav, before you hear the shofar, you hear the megillah, you light the menorah of Hanukkah, the Chanukiah they might call it. So you have a bracha on any before you do any sort of mitzvah, and then you have a birachas shevach v'hodaya, where you thank and you praise. So a lot of davening falls into that middle category where we thank Hashem for many things. We praise him for other things. And then you have Birchas Hanenen, bracha that you make on food, before you eat food. And one of the unique things about Birchas Hanenen is that you actually have to make a bracha after it as well. We don't do this for any of the other things. We don't make, when you say a bracha on the lulav, you don't make a bracha afterwards. You make the bracha, you shake the lulav, and you put it down, you go on with your day. You don't make a bracha after you hear the shofar, just a bracha before. You happen to make a bracha after you hear the Megillah. But you only make that bracha when you're reading the Megillah as a congregation. You wouldn't make that bracha like during COVID when people were reading alone. You only made the one bracha before. You don't make the bracha afterwards. So we have these three types of mitzvahs, three types of brachos: the birchas of mitzvah, birchas shevach v'hodaya, and birchas hananen. And so with this understanding, we can look at this Gemara and we can see that there's something peculiar in the Gemara. So the Gemara, source number one, is the Gemara in brachos, and the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, that Rabbi Yochanan said, Lamanu birchas Torah la'achareya min birchas amazon mikal v'chomer. That we said that we can induce that you make a bracha after you learn Torah from birchas amazon. So benching, which we say after we eat bread, so we can learn, just like after we eat bread, we make a bracha on it, so too after we learn Torah, we make a bracha on it. Birchas hamazon, and the fact that you make a bracha before you eat bread, lefanea, before it, min birchas haTorah mikal v'chomer. We can learn it from a kal v'chomer, we can learn it out, we can induce it from the fact that we make a bracha before we learn Torah. So the Gemara goes on to explain, Birchas Torah l'acharem and Birchas Hamazon mikal v'chomer. How do you know that you make a bracha after you learn Torah from Birchas Hamazon from benching? Ma'amazon shein ton lefanav. Just like bread does not require a bracha before it, but ton la'achra, but it does require a bracha after. Torah sheta'una lefanav. Torah which requires a bracha before it. Eino din, all the more so. Obviously it's going to sheta'una la'achra, that you need a bracha afterwards. And then we can flip it on the other way. Birchas Hamazon lefanav. Just like Birchas Hamazon is said after Birchas Hamazon before you eat bread, we can learn from Birchas Torah. Uma Torah, and just like Torah, she'en tu'una la'acharea, does not need a bracha after it, but tu'una lefanea, does need a bracha before it. So mazon shoots ton la'acharav. So bread, which does need a bracha after it, ain't no din, all the more so. Obviously, she'en ton lefanav, and it should need one before it. So we have these two things that seem to be opposites. You have Birchas Hamazon, benching, which is said only after you eat bread. You have Birchas Torah, the bracha we make on Torah, which is said only before you learn Torah. And so we can learn from each other that you have to make before you eat bread and after you learn Torah as well. Great. The logic of the Gemara adds up. The question that everyone asks is that you can't compare these things. You can't compare a birchas mitzvah, the bracha you make on a mitzvah, of the mitzvah of learning Torah, to a birchas hananen, the bracha you make on enjoyment. They're just not the same. Like we said, birchas hananen, the bracha you make on enjoyment, is different in the fact that it needs a bracha before and a bracha after. But a birchas mitzvah, the bracha you make on any mitzvah, including Torah, should only need a bracha beforehand. So how can you compare these two? How are they comparable whatsoever? And the Lavush, which I was actually hoping Doris Jaffe would be here, because Doris Jaffe's late husband, the Lavush is Rabbi Mordechai Jaffe. So Doris Jaffe's late husband was a descendant of the Lavush. If you go into her apartment, you see a set of the Lavush. She says she used to have, I think, three sets. She gave two of them away, but she had to keep one for herself. So the Lavush was, I took this photo is a photo of the Lavush. I took it off of his Instagram for everyone to see. That was a joke. So the Lavush, the name means clothing, because there's a crazy story. A noblewoman in town wanted to have illicit relations with him. And so she invited him over, and she did whatever she did and made it so that the two of them were alone in a locked room. So he was locked in. It was pretty much illicit relations or illicit relations. He had those two options. So what he decided to do was he decided to jump into the sewer, the gross and disgusting sewer, to save himself. And obviously, you jump into the gross and disgusting sewer, you hope you don't get any disease, but you for sure ruin your clothing. He didn't have any Clorox Tide or anything like that to save his clothing. So you for sure ruin your clothing. And so he named his sefer the Lavush to remind him of the extent that he went to save himself from sinning, which had he, which is one of the three cardinal sins, and so he wasn't allowed to do it. The halacha is that you would have to let yourself kill before you do such a thing. So instead, what did he do? He decided to just jump into the sewer and save himself that way. So he named his sefer as a memory of that. So he says a very interesting thing. He says that Ma'od...
He was luckier than Yosef. Yosef ends up
yes,
in jail.
Yeah. Well, Yosef ended up naked and then in jail. Yes. So he says, Ma'od Ma'od Tzarecha Adam Li Zareba Lahara Shatara Hi Chashua Ve'enav. He says the person has to be very, very careful with their Birchas Torah to show that the Torah is important in their eyes. Venana Mimena. And that they benefit from it. Kamosh Mevarech Al Kol Hana'osav. Just the same way a person makes a bracha on anything that they benefit from. So what the Lavush is saying is that Birchas Torah is a Birchas Anenen. It actually is a bracha on enjoyment. He says that's why every single morning when we say our Birchas Torah, we make two brachos on it. Because he says you have to say a bracha, when you have a Birchas Anenen, you have to say a bracha afterwards. But when are you going to make the after bracha? If you make the after bracha before you go to sleep, he says, well, you can't do that because you have to dream about it. It's supposed to be something that you're thinking about constantly. So he says in the morning we make one bracha, and that's the bracha that for after yesterday's learning, and then we make a second bracha, and that's the bracha for today's learning. And actually, I shared this idea last week at Swal, and someone asked me, well, how does he know that? I said, I'll prove it to you. What's the second bracha that we make in the morning? The second bracha we make in the morning is the same bracha you make before you get an aliyah. So therefore, it's clearly is this, that is the before bracha for learning. And the bracha we make before that in the morning, that's just the bracha for yesterday. We're finishing up yesterday, and now we're going into today's learning. So that was idea number one. The other thing I wanted to talk about, we'll go back to Matan Torah, we'll go back to Parshas Yisro and Sefer Shmos. So at the beginning of Matan Torah, it says here in source number 3, Bechodesh HaShlishi, in the third month, Letzeis B'nei Yisrael Me'eretz Mitzrayim, when they left, 3 months after the Jewish people left Egypt, B'yom Hazah, on this day, Bo Midbar Sinai. They came into the desert of Sinai. So Rashi was amazing for two things. Rashi was amazing because he picked up on all these subtleties, but he was also amazing that he knew all these places to quote from. He says very little of his own independent thought. He's quoting people all over the place. So Rashi picks up on the fact that it says, B'yom hazeh, on this day in the present tense, and he says, you know who else picked up on that? Chazal. Our sages, there's a Gemara that says just like that. And so he quotes the Gemara in Brachos. And the Gemara says that what does it mean, B'yom hazeh? That on this day, the words of Torah should be new in a person's eyes, just as if they were given on that very day. So every single day, it's as if every single day should be Matan Torah in a sense. Every single day should be the day that we received the Torah. But this is a very kind of difficult idea, I think. What do you mean every single day should be as if it's the day that we received the Torah? How can we have that excitement? You know, you get a new pair of shoes and you put them on and you're so excited. Today's the day you received those pair of shoes. But then they get a little older and they get a little bit scuffed and they get a little bit worn in and they get a little bit used. And now you're looking for a new pair of shoes. And you're over this pair of shoes. And the same is with almost anything that's new. Today, the day you receive it, you're so excited about it, but then you kind of get used to it, and it kind of becomes old news, and you're over it, and you're on to the next. So how can it be that every single day should be as if that was the day that it should have the freshness, as if that was the day the Torah was given? And I think these two, they happen to both be Gemaras and Brachos, and I think they actually complement each other very, very well. Because how do you make something as if it's new and it's fresh? You do it by looking for ways to make it exciting and enjoyable. Just like the first bracha is implying that it's a birchas anenen, that the bracha we make on Torah is the bracha of enjoyment. So how do you enjoy things? You find new angles of it. You're going to learn new parts of the Torah. You're going to learn new books on the Torah. You're going to learn the same old thing you've learned before in a different way. You're going to understand it differently. You're going to understand it more deeply. And when you strive for that excitement, so then it makes every single day, it's as if you're receiving the Torah because you're learning something new and it makes it exciting every single day. It's like you have a new pair of shoes every single day. You have a new Torah every single day because you're constantly looking for new things and building in that way. There was once, Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz, he was one of the Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir Yeshiva. And so there was once a Talmud, a student, who went up to Rav Chaim and he said, you know, Rebbe, I'm embarrassed to say it. I understand how important learning Torah is. The mirror is not. Do you want to tell us what the mirror is? The mirror is not for elementary school kids. It's not for high school kids. It has to be a Jewish son-in-law learns in the mirror. So the mirror is for adults. It's for anyone 18 and older. It's for people who are choosing to be there. Nobody's forcing you to be there. Maybe your father-in-law is forcing you to be there. I don't know. I'll have to ask Bob. But nobody's forcing you to be there. People are choosing to be there. And so the student went up to the Rosh Yeshiva and he said, I understand how important it is. I'm here. I'm learning. I've been learning probably since I was 5 years old, 20 years, 20 plus years, however long it was when he went up to the Rosh Yeshiva. He said, but how do I have that feeling of Ahavas Torah? How do I love the Torah? How do I make it so that every single day I'm excited to wake up and go learn Torah, and every single night I have to rip myself away so I can sleep, so that I can wake up refreshed to learn the Torah? And so Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz leaned into this Talmud, and he said, the way to reach Ahavas Torah, to love the Torah, is a Me'os B'Torah, if you work hard at it. Because when you work hard at it, and you're constantly striving to find new things, and learn new ideas, and expand your understanding, that makes you really love it. It's like the fact that when Yitzchak married Rivka, so the Torah says that they got married and then Yitzchak loved Rivka afterwards. And everyone always asks, shouldn't you be in love before you get married? And the answer always is that obviously there's some sort of love there, or else you wouldn't marry the person. But true love is not on the wedding night. And if it is on the wedding night, so then you don't know true love yet. True love comes as you get to know the person, you get to understand them better, and you build a deeper relationship with them. And he says it's the same with our relationship with Torah. The more we learn about it, so the more we understand it more deeply, and the more we connect with it, so then it's every single day becomes exciting. We build that deep love, and we wake up excited every single morning. So what does this have to do with Sfira? This idea that if we're constantly looking for the new, constantly looking to connect with it a little bit more, that we're going to that it's going to be as if it was given that day. It's going to have that freshness and excitement every single day. So I think the idea is, on Sfira we have this focus. This is our time that we're working to accept the Torah. This is our time that we're working to build even more deeply a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his Torah. And so therefore we spend 7 weeks, 7 complete weeks, as I said in the Drasha 2 weeks ago, 7 complete weeks every single day working to grow a little bit more and more and more and find that freshness. And that way on Shavuos morning, even though we're so exhausted, but we have this energy. We have this fresh energy that we feel like we have a new Torah. We feel like we have a new connection. And now this year, we're going to be able to learn even more and connect even more deeply and grow and expand even more in that sense. So I'll finish with one final story. There's a sign on my desk. It says, "Why not me?" And I didn't come up with it myself. I took it from someone. The kids always ask me when I do enrichment. They always say, "Why does it say why not me?" And I always ask them, "Why not me? Why not me?" I've never answered the question. But I took it from Rabbi Mordechai Gifter. Because when Rabbi Mordechai Gifter was in yeshiva, so he had this mirror on his wall. And it had all of these photos of great rabbis around it. And then in the middle, it said, "Why not me?" And he would look at the mirror every single day. And he would look at himself. And he would look at these rabbis. And he'd say, "Why not me?" And so that was Rabbi Gifter in yeshiva. When Rabbi Gifter was a child, they didn't call him Rabbi, nor did they call him Mordechai. His name was Max. He was Max Gifter. He went to public school, and his parents decided they're going to move to Baltimore because they want him to be in a firm environment. And so he ended up making friends with the Shul Rabbi's son, who also happens to be 8 years old. And so it used to be that before we had these charity campaigns, and you send the campaign page around, you ask everyone, all your friends, to make a donation. The Rosh Yeshiva, they would come from Europe to America, and they would actually ask for money themselves, the old-fashioned way. And so Rav Shimon Shkup, which if you don't know the name, he wrote some very influential svarim on Kashrus and Yerideh and all that stuff. So he was a Rosh Yeshiva in Europe, and he came to Baltimore to fundraise. And so he's sitting in the shul, and the rabbi of the shul asked him to give a bracha to his son. So he gave him a bracha. The bracha you always give these kids, you should grow up to be a Talmud Chacham, a great rabbi, an influential Torah personality. And then the rabbi said, "Can you also give my son's friend a bracha?" And so it was very clear that these were two very different kids. You had the yeshiva boy and the not yet yeshiva boy. And so the rabbi told him, "My son's friend, he's a very good boy." So Rav Shimon Shkap took this little Max Gifter's hand, and he held it, and he looked at him, and he said, you should always want to learn Torah. And as Rav Gifter grew older, he said, if he knew anything, it's because of the bracha he received. It's because of the blessing that he got from Rav Shimon Shkap on that day. That it was he was always striving just to want to learn Torah. And when you just work to want it, so then it makes it fresh and exciting, and it makes it something that you want to do every single day. And when he became a Rosh Yeshiva, and people would bring their own children to him to get a bracha, he would give them the same bracha. He would say to them, you should always want to learn Torah. So I want to end by giving everyone the same bracha, that we should always want to learn Torah, and that way we can work to have a true Kabbalah Satorah right here at Beth Jacob on Shavuos. Mm-hmm.